Hello and welcome to Pets Plus Us, a weekly program of information and stories about the companions in our lives, our pets. I'm Mary DeFranco, your host for Pets Plus Us. Coming up this half hour, we're reading from Pet Tales, Autumn 2019 edition. We'll learn from veterinarians and pet experts how to interpret pet food labels, how to prepare our pets for those vet visits they love oh so much, and we'll get some grooming tips and find out what are the best first pets. So let's start with that. Great Pets for Beginners by TalesandToys.com. If you're looking to get a pet for the first time, either for yourself or for your kids, you might be surprised to know that not every animal is going to work. The appropriate care and products are as different as the animals that require them, and it might not be something that you're ready for, depending on your situation. These pets are excellent options for first-timers, offering both convenience and adorableness. The first is the rodent. Guinea pigs, gerbils, and rats are all rodents that are perfect pets for beginners. Each of these critters is easy to care for and handle, which is an expected requirement for households with children. Guinea pigs are naturally healthy creatures that live long lives, which means you can build a lasting bond with them. And if you are not fond of animal odor, rats are habitually clean by nature. Did you know it? Which means a less smelly cage. Gerbils, meanwhile, are the least likely rodent to bite. Additionally, all these creatures are furry and entertaining to watch. Second is the parakeet. The term parakeet is broad and encompasses a broad array of small and medium bird types. Each bird has its own unique size, diet, personality, and more. And because the type is so broad, you can choose one that fits what you're looking for in a first-time bird. For example, some parakeets are loud, while others are quiet. A noisy bird may not work well if you live in an apartment, for example. The average lifespan of a parakeet ranges from 8 to 40 years. Third is the gecko, leopard or crested. Like any reptile, geckos don't require a lot of space, don't need to be fed every day, and have calm and quiet natures. These qualities make them terrific first-time pets, especially for young children. Geckos are especially great because they are easy to handle and have unique, adorable faces and patterns called morphs that set them apart from other lizards. Geckos have a life expectancy of 10 to 20 years, so youngsters can grow with their pet lizard. Freshwater fish are next on the list. Wonderful freshwater starter fish include swordtails, goldfish, danios, guppies, and tetras, to name a few. Goldfish and some tetras require a cold water aquarium, while the rest need heated aquariums. Both environments are easy to care for. Each fish type comes in a variety of colors and sizes, providing a beautiful spectacle. Freshwater fish are terrific options for first-timers who are children or even busy adults. And the turtle, the red-eared slider. Painted turtle and box turtle are widely considered the best turtles for beginners. Because most turtle breeds generally live long, about 20 to 50 years, and require a large living space, they are perfect if you are a first-time pet owner who doesn't want a pet in a little cage or tank, but does want a pet that is a lifelong commitment. With their unique personalities, shell patterns, and diets, turtles are fun companion pets. Next, ask a vet. One of the most common reasons pet owners go to the vet. Veterinary visits, while necessary, are no fun for pets, many of whom find the experience stressful. They can also be a bummer for owners when they find themselves spending a lot of money on medical bills. But that doesn't mean trips to the vet should be avoided. It's better to nip small health problems in the bud before they turn into much bigger issues. Pet owners are encouraged to schedule regular medical checkups as recommended by their veterinarians to prevent many common yet problematic medical conditions. said Dr. Carol McConnell, Vice President and Chief Veterinary Officer at Pet Health Insurance Provider Nationwide. In a recent press release, Nationwide analyzed its database of more than 725,000 insured pets to determine the top medical conditions that prompted vet visits for dogs and cats. Early detection can be key. The majority of medical conditions on the top 10 list can be successfully managed if treated promptly by a veterinarian, says McConnell. The top 10 conditions for dogs are skin allergies, ear infection, non-cancerous skin mass, diarrhea or intestinal upset, skin infection, vomiting, upset stomach, arthritis, dental disease, anal gland inflammation, and bladder or urinary tract disease. And for cats, bladder or urinary tract disease is at the top of the list for cats, followed by dental disease, chronic kidney disease, vomiting, upset stomach, diarrhea, intestinal upset, excessive thyroid hormone, upper respiratory infection, skin allergies, diabetes, and heart valve malfunction. From Devin Campbell at Monroe Veterinary Hospital, prepare your vet for the vet. She says your pets, like you, need their health checked on from time to time. Most veterinarians recommend pets to be examined annually, but this could change based on age or unexpected health changes. These yearly checkups are generally routine, but there are things you should take notice of and prepare for as you take your pet to the vet. Many of the checks during a wellness exam are basic and don't require any preparation. The vet just wants to make sure that your pet is in good overall health. This part of the checkup includes a nose-to-tail evaluation of the pet's general well-being. Dr. Ken Scheider, medical director of Parenton Veterinary Hospital, New York, explains that the findings of this examination will help the doctor make personalized recommendations tailored to that pet. Each pet's unique and has intricate health needs that can change rapidly with growth and age, so the exams are important in documenting these needs and changes. Annual checks are also performed to catch any long-term problems that may not be obvious. In this regard, Scheider goes on to say the biggest benefit to annual examinations is that the earlier we can diagnose and treat the problem, in a lot of situations, the better the prognosis. The chances of diagnosing problems in your pet increase significantly with the help of a veterinarian. As stated previously, dogs and cats age much faster than people, so major health changes can happen more rapidly than one might expect. So before visiting the vet for an annual checkup, write down any changes you've noticed in your pet over the past year, even small differences like weight gain or weight loss. Eating habit changes or behavioral differences can indicate something larger. Your pet's doctor will typically ask about said changes, but it is a good idea to have a list prepared before you go. This information can be extremely helpful in situations where problems aren't noticed during the evaluation. It's important for your vet to know about these things in case any extra tests are required. Small changes are sometimes harmless, but extra caution is never a bad idea. For many pet owners, routine checkups may be an oversight or considered unneeded, but that is far from the truth. These simple examinations could be what save your pet from something more serious. If you have any questions regarding annual exams or any general questions about your pet's health, don't hesitate to contact or visit your veterinarian. And on that same subject, also by Devin Campbell, low-stress veterinary visits. Veterinary visits can be a very difficult and stressful time for our pets if they're unfamiliar with the process. For many animals, new people, places, and experiences can be frightening. Furthermore, vet visits, if not handled properly, can be traumatic and cause pets to feel scared for future trips. However, there are numerous ways to help out your cat or dog and make them feel more comfortable when headed to the vet. The first way to make your pet feel more relaxed starts with the car ride. As soon as your cat or dog sees the car, they may feel nervous because they know what's coming. Making your pet feel more familiar with the car or with their carrier could make the visit a much simpler process. When at home, leave your cat's carrier out for them to sniff around or let your dog in the car and let them become familiar with the space. It's also a good idea to associate those things with positive feelings to your pets. If your dog is willing to go for a ride, take them to the park or give them a treat. If your cat climbs into the carrier, give them a treat. It will make them much more willing to participate when you need them to. Another reason your pet may feel uncomfortable at the vet is because of the way they're handled. Dogs and cats can feel uneasy with new people touching them. That's why it may be smart to perform mock exams at home with people that they feel comfortable with. With both cats and dogs, try to spend some time holding and looking at their paws, checking their ears and teeth, and just holding them differently than normal. It will help them get accustomed to the way the vet may handle your pet. These home trials are a great experience and will help you feel better about the visit, too. At all Monroe Veterinary Associates or MVA hospitals, employees undergo a low-stress training program to help pets feel more comfortable when visiting. This program is a crucial part of what MVA does, as the pet safety is of the utmost importance. The initiative focuses heavily on keeping pets comfortable and relaxed throughout the experience. The first component of the program manual states that MVA wants to tailor the approach to that individual pet with the goal of not increasing their level of stress. Each hospital understands what is needed to create successful vet visits, and relaxation is a major part of that. The program goes on to say that using minimal restraint techniques that keep patients in a comfortable, safe position for medical treatment is essential. MVA vets and employees working in each hospital sign a low-stress promise that binds them to giving the highest level of care to both the animals and their owners. Clients and their veterinarians can work together to make a visit to the veterinary hospital an enjoyable experience for all. A traumatic encounter can be detrimental to their health, but is easily avoidable. How about some grooming tips? Whether you're a pet groomer, a pet parent, or both, it's important to know how to properly groom your furry friends. Grooming is about much more than keeping up with our pet's appearance. It's a key factor in maintaining their overall health. As a pet parent of five and owner of five Puff and Fluff grooming locations in the Phoenix area, Liz Illig has learned a lot over the years about pet care. Now she's lending you a paw to ensure that all pets are receiving the proper grooming care. First, ease your pet into grooming. One of the greatest tips I can give you is to start your felines and canines early when it comes to grooming. Grooming can be a very stressful event for an animal who's not used to being handled. And this can be especially dangerous if your pet gets spooked near scissors or clippers. Work with your new pup or kitten to get them used to the idea of being held and having their limbs moved around. Bit by bit, get them used to water, combs, nail clippers, etc. Not all coats are equal, from super short-haired breeds to those with long, lustrous coats. Understanding your pet's unique needs will be a great aid in the grooming process. Educating yourself on your pet's needs will help you to buy the right shampoos and brushes to care for his or her coat. If you have multiple breeds in your household, keep in mind that not all products are for all types of cats or dogs. Be mindful of the products you're using on your pets to preserve their coats. Maintain a routine. One of the most important tips I give my clients is to brush between visits. Not only does regular brushing make your pet look and feel good, It's a great activity to bond with your pet. Plus, it saves your groomer time in not having to untangle a month or two worth of knots. Without proper upkeep, your four-legged friend may need a radical shave to get rid of matted hair and knots. It's not just about the hair. While braids, bows, and painted toes are pawsome, pet care and grooming involves way more than a sleek coat. Groomers and pet parents should pay careful attention to the paw pads, toenails, ears, and eyes. If a pet's nails are too long, it can affect their ability to walk, run, and play. If you have a breed with particularly long ears, like a basset hound, you'll want to keep them clean and free of infectants. And communication is essential. Maintaining open and transparent communication between the pet parent and the groomer is key. For groomers, it's important to let your client know if you spot anything of concern on their pet. And for pet parents, it's crucial to let your groomer know if your pet has any allergies, sensitivities, or fears when it comes to grooming. And next, name that food. Interpreting pet food labels. Get your calculators ready. Elizabeth Furterbar, DVM at Greece Animal Hospital in New York, gives a detailed explanation of what the ingredients on those pet food labels really mean. If you're like most pet parents, your furry friend eats the same food every day and is perfectly happy with it. But what is actually going into that bowl? Looking at the label on your pet's food can give you a lot of information, but what does it all mean? Well, let's take a look. It can be a challenge comparing different types of food, but check if the label is on an as-fed, AF, or dry matter, DM, basis. As-fed refers to the food without the water content being considered. Dry matter discusses what would be left over if all of the moisture were removed from the diet. Canned food has significantly higher water content than dry kibble. As much as 78% of canned food may be water. The 95% rule. Diets that are mostly ingredients of animal origin, meat, poultry, or fish, not grains or veggies, must contain at least 95% of the named ingredient, not counting the water. Accounting for water content, 70% of the product must still be the listed source. For example, salmon cat food would need to be made of 70% salmon. For foods with multiple ingredients, such as beef and chicken, dog food, both ingredients together would have to be 95% of the total weight of the food. Since the ingredients must be listed in order of highest content, the diet would have to be more beef than chicken. Okay, now the 25% or dinner rule. Does your pet's food have a designator word such as meal, chow, or feast? Then there must be at least 25% of that ingredient. Other common descriptive terms include formula, entree, platter, and nuggets. If there are two or more ingredients in such a diet's name, there must be at least 3% of each item. Together, they must equal at least 25% of the diet, and they must be listed in descending order. A diet of venison and buffalo would need to have more venison than buffalo, would have at least 3% buffalo, and combined have a 25%, at least 25% of the diet be made of venison and buffalo. And the 3% rule, or the with rule. This rule lets manufacturers highlight specific ingredients which are included in the diet but are less than 25% and therefore cannot be included in the dinner designation. For example, a diet with 25% chicken and 3% liver would be called chicken dinner with liver. Don't get that confused with chicken and liver dinner, where there would need to be a total of 25% chicken and liver, or chicken dog food, where there would have to be at least 95% chicken. I hope this clears things up a bit just in time for your pet's next meal. Bon appetit. And now, for the portion of the program I like to call Don't Eat That, The Dangers of Xylitol, by Devin Campbell, again, Monroe Veterinary Associates. When feeding your dog, there are many ingredients to be wary of. Some artificial substances can be especially harmful, as dogs process things differently than humans. One such substance is xylitol, a popular artificial sweetener. If ingested, xylitol can prove deadly for dogs, the FDA reports. The chemical has become frequently used as a replacement for sugar to reduce calories in foods. It is found most commonly in some peanut butter spreads, sugar-free ice cream and gum, as well as other food products. If your dog typically eats products like these, please be sure to check the ingredient label for xylitol. The substance isn't harmful to humans, so it may go unnoticed in things you usually eat. For a full comprehensive list of products containing xylitol, you can visit www.preventivevet.com/xylitol. PreventiveVet.com asks its followers to contact them if any products not listed on the site containing xylitol are found. There's a link on the site to file an official report where one can list the brand and specific product. A simple report may save countless dogs and will help owners all over the world keep their pups safe. Xylitol can cause canines to have extreme drops in blood sugar levels that can be extremely harmful or even lethal. Sometimes symptoms of consumption include vomiting, diarrhea, shakiness, and seizures. If your dog suffers any of these symptoms, please contact or visit your veterinarian immediately. Signs your dog is happy. Do we really need signs? The people at TailsAndToys.com think so. Here's what they say. There are some people that would argue that dogs don't have the ability to feel joy because they are not on the same emotional level as humans. But most pet parents would probably disagree. While we may not always be able to put our finger on exactly how we can tell, we are often able to perceive when Fido is in his high spirits based on his body language. According to the book Making Dogs Happy by Melissa Starling and Paul McGreevy, there are various physical signs that can help us confirm when our furry companions are feeling content. Some of their findings are also supported on PetMD.com with experts weighing in on canine bliss. First, take note when your dog touches you with its tongue. Most of the time when dogs lick us, it appears to be a sign of affection. Pay attention to your pooch's rear end. Loose tail wags indicate positive states, says PetMD. Happy dogs wag their tails in a manner that involves the whole body, said Dr. Rachel Barrick of New York City's Animal Acupuncture. If the tail wag is soft and loose and typically held in a more neutral position, this is likely a happy dog, adds Tanya Wilhelm, dog training specialist and author of several training books. Keep track of your dog's ear positioning. Ears of dogs that are awake but relaxed sit at roughly 10 to 2 o'clock around the dog's face and point forward and slightly out to the side, says PetMD. Ear shapes vary from breed to breed. In general, happy dogs wear their ears in a relaxed fashion, said Beth Mullen, Director of Behavior and Training at Humane Rescue Alliance in Washington, D.C. One ear may be cocked up or both may be loose and floppy. Gauge your pooch's activity level. PetMD says aroused dogs express their joy in expending energy. Happy dogs enjoy playtime and walks, said Barrick, while all dogs slow down with age. If your dog seems abnormally quiet or reluctant to engage, this may be a sign they're not feeling well. And observe how alert and eager your dog is. Alertness to potentially rewarding signs is a good indication that your dog might be feeling optimistic. Here's a book review. The book is titled Dugan, The Dog Who Said Mom, by Joanne Russo, insult. Bringing a dog into your family is an exciting time, but first you have to find the right one. If you're willing to overlook what some might consider a problem, you might find yourself with a very special dog. This book is about a little dog who lives in a shelter waiting to be adopted. He's cute and friendly, but he barks a lot, and that has kept people from taking him home. Finally, Dugan's special day comes, and a woman is willing to take a chance on him. She adopts him and gives him a loving home. His new mom also helps him find the special talent he's always wished for. This is a story children of all ages will enjoy. It shows what can happen with love and faith in others. It's available in hardcover, paperback, and ebook from Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and directly from the author, Joanne.insull, with two L's, I-N-S-U-L-L, at gmail.com. And here are some fun facts about cats. When cats grimace, they're usually taste-scenting. They have an extra organ that, with some breathing control, allows the cat to taste-sense the air. A cat's purr may be a form of self-healing. It can be a sign of nervousness as well as contentment. Cats and humans have nearly identical sections of the brain that control emotions. Huh. And fun dog facts? Dogs can see in color, though they're most likely color similar to colorblind human. They can see better when the light is low. Within hours of the September 11, 2001 attack on the World Trade Center, especially trained dogs were on scene, including German Shepherds, Labs, and even a few little Dachshunds. It cost approximately $10,000 to train a federal certified search and rescue dog. One female dog and her female children could produce 4,372 puppies in 7 years. And finally, the Basenji is the world's only barkless dog. And that will do it for this week. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. I hope you enjoyed the program. Thanks for listening. Please join me next time. And don't forget, please spay and neuter your pets. It's healthy for them and the environment. Pets Plus Us is a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. If you'd like more information about this program or to hear this program again, visit our website at wxxi.org/reachout. I'd also like to invite you to share your pet story with us by writing to us at reachout@wxxi.org.